So I love worship. I love worshiping through song, through music. Maybe it's because I'm super analytical, just my regular personality. Like all those personality tests that you take at school or at work, you have like different quadrants, different LJPM, whatever. Like I always skew towards analytical. And maybe that's why I love worshiping through music so much, because it touches something deeper, something just super deep that I usually don't express, you know? And I've had these conversations about, worship and worship music with Coco, with Jason, with Lucian, with other worship leaders. And even though I love worship, sometimes, like when we're worshiping, certain songs, I just can't sing. Or I have difficulty singing. And it's not because I don't like the melody or I don't know, something like that, It's not catchy enough or something. No. I can't sing because sometimes the words that the song uses, perfectly biblical, perfectly, theologically correct, they say certain things that my life just doesn't line up with, Like, it talks about how much I love God, and it talks about the things that I'm going to do for God, and just how on fire I am for God, and how my heart beats for God, and sometimes I've walked into church, and I'm like, if I sing these words, I'm just such a hypocrite right now, right? And then on the flip side, no matter how I come to church, no matter what kind of mental, spiritual, emotional state I find myself in, whether I'm up here or whether I'm in the back of the church and the worship team just starts singing and the songs are about God himself, about who he is, not who I am, and about what he's done and not what I'm doing, then I can't help but begin to worship. We talk about a God who is a way maker, miracle worker, light in the darkness, right? Like, how could you not be stirred up when you hear these? Because it's regardless of who you are, regardless of what you've done, regardless of where you've come from, that is true no matter what, amen? God is who those words and who these verses say that he is, amen? So no matter what I'm doing or how I'm feeling, I begin to worship. And it got me thinking about, New Year's resolutions, and it got me thinking about them like kind of in the same way, it's not wrong to make New Year's resolutions, because ultimately at some point in your life, whether it's on January 1st, or in June or in July, it doesn't, September, I don't care, whenever. Like, you do have to, make certain decisions and take certain commitments, And that's how you came to Christ in the first place, right? There was a moment in your life when you made that decision, inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicted you of sin, and you realized who you were and your need for Christ, and you said, Lord, today, this morning, this evening, here at church, there at camp, in my prayer closet, Lord, I'm giving my life to you. So you had to make that decision, that statement. So I'm not against making, New Year's resolutions or anything, but I know who I am. And maybe by now you're old enough to realize that maybe you're not so hot. You're not such a hot shot, And maybe a lot of those New Year's resolutions that you've made over the years, like you see your percentage of keeping them. Like what are you guys at? What's your percent of successful, kept New Year's resolutions? Is it 50%? 100%? Debbie's choosing to forget. That's smart. That's what I would do. I don't know, 13%? Would that be fair? So on this first Sunday evening of the year 2020, instead of telling you, what you should decide to do, what your New Year's resolutions should be. Just like in worship, when we talk about who God is, I want to talk about what God is saying that he's going to do. Kind of the New Year's resolutions that God is committing to make. And they're found in the book of Isaiah. If you guys want to open up your Bibles, we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 43 tonight. We're going to focus on verses 14 through 21. But to start off, I just want to read verses 17 or 18 and 19. This is what Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19 say. Do not remember the past events. Pay no attention to things of old. Look, I am about to do something new. Even now, it is coming. Do you not see it? So I want to start off, again, by talking about what God is committing to do in your life, what God is committing to do here at Emmanuel, what God is committed to do in your family, in your business, in your school endeavors, whatever it may be. This is not you making a New Year's resolution that you're hoping you're going to keep. This is the promise that God is making to you right now as we begin January of 2020. And the first part in verses 14 through 15 say, this is what the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel says. Because of you, I will send an army to Babylon and bring all of them as fugitives, even the Chaldeans in their ships in which they rejoice. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your king. So the first thing that the Lord is committing to do in 2020, the first promise that the Lord is making to you individually right now is that he loves you. That he loves you. That the Lord loves you with an everlasting, unchanging, unshakable love. Maybe you're in a place in your life where that doesn't impress you too much. I heard one amen. So, Fratele Druhora is impressed by the fact that the Lord loves him. But if your life is going so well that you're like, cool, God loves me. You know, let me add that to the good things that are going on in my life. Good for you. Good for you. Awesome. If your life has been going like mine has for the past 6 months, where it just seems like it's been one series of unmitigated disasters after another, of pain and heartache and defeat and failure and just pain. That means a lot. That means a lot. It's everything. It means everything. If you're looking back on the past month or the past year, and you see that you failed, you see that the people around you are or have been in pain, or you see heartache, you see brokenness, then this means something to you. This means something to you, that the Lord God loves you. Look what it says at the beginning of chapter 43. I was almost tempted to speak from like this whole chapter because it's so amazing, but let me just read the first four verses of Isaiah chapter 43. It says, now this is what the Lord says, the one who created you, Jacob, and the one who formed you, Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, and you are mine. I will be with you when you pass through the waters and when you pass through the rivers. They will not overwhelm you. You will not be scorched when you walk through the fire, and the flame will not burn you. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, and your Savior. I have given Egypt as a ransom for you, Cush and Seba in your place, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I mean, that just blows my mind. That just blows my mind to hear the Lord speak those words And I don't care that it's written to Israel. It's written to me. It's written to me. And it's written to you tonight. This love of the Holy One of Israel, the holy, holy, holy Lord of Lords and King of Kings, that he loves you. And he says in verse 14, he says, because of you, he says, for your sake, in other words, other translations say, for your sake, for your sake, he says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take Babylon, who is the most powerful nation in the world at the time. I'm going to take Babylon, who is your worst enemy, who is threatening to destroy you, threatening to invade you, threatening to bring down your cities, threatening to cut down your loved ones. And I'm going to make them fugitives. I'm going to turn the world upside down for you, Emmanuel Church. I'm going to turn the world and the world system and everything that the world believes is unchangeable and unshakable, I'm going to turn that upside down because I love you. So what is it about you? What is it about you that would make the Lord do that? That would make the Lord turn the world upside down? It's not because you're a big deal. Maybe you might think you're a big deal. But you know what? It's not why. It's not why the Lord would do that. It's not because you're successful financially or even spiritually. It's not your spiritual success that makes the Lord declare that over you tonight. It's not because you're faithful. It's not because you're a winner. It's not because you've kept your promises. And it's not even because you kept your 2019 resolutions. That's not why. It has nothing to do with it. It is simply because he loves you. It is simply because the Lord loves you. One of my favorite passages, Isaiah chapter 54, verse 10, say, though the mountains move and the hills shake. How many of you guys have ever been to Big Bear, to Big Bear Lake, Big Bear Mountain, right? All of you. Did you ever go to Big Bear, come back down, wait a few months, and then decide to go back up to Big Bear, and you're like, what happened? The mountain is not here. Anybody? Who has ever seen a mountain move, pack up its bags, and say, you know what? I'm out of California. Prices are high. I'm going to move to the East Coast. Life's cheaper out there. Have you ever seen that? And the word of God says, even if you see that, even if the mountains move, even if the hills are shaken, which we know happens here in California, right? Even if the craziest of crazy things happens, the most unimaginable, the Lord says, even then, my love would not be removed from you. Would not be removed from you. And some people get it. Some people get it, and some of us don't. Or maybe there are times in our lives where we get it because we need it, and then other times when we don't. One of my good friends is ushering tonight, Fratele Vasile Maric. I think he's in the back over there. And I love Fratele Vasile. I love him for a lot of reasons. He's funny, cracks jokes all the time. He has a story about everything. Like, there's not one thing that you could do or tell him that he doesn't have a story that relates to your point. He's just a big and tough guy. And I was thinking to myself, if I'm ever in trouble, I want Fratello Vasile to be there with me. If I ever get in a fight, not that I would, but if I ever had to get in a fight, I would want Fratello Vasile to be there with me. He's this big, tough guy. He's this big, funny, kind of go-lucky guy. Poftim? Or Daniel Dushka? Both great men. But the thing is, this has happened several times, and even when we had Revive and we had a men's meeting in the prayer room over there, This funny guy, this big, tough guy, when he talks about the Lord, like, he just tears up. When he talks about the Lord, he just he becomes soft. And what God did in his life, and the way God came through for him, and the way God saved him from impossible situations. And he gets it. He gets it. And I pray tonight that you get it. I pray tonight that you get that God loves you, that he loves you, and what that means for you and in your life. But I want to tell you something else. I want to tell you what his life is going to look like in 2020, what his love is going to look like. Because love is not just feelings. It's not just getting emotional. It's not just any of that. Here's what the Lord says in verse 15. He says, let me read that to you again. He says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. So this is what God's love is going to look like for you and for Emmanuel in 2020. He says that he is your Holy One. That means that he is your standard. God is your standard. He is the standard that you are going to be living up to as we go into this year. This is who you are supposed to measure yourself up to or up against. Not your buddies. Not what school tells you are the norms, right? Like what culture is trying to tell you is acceptable or not acceptable. That's not what you're measuring up to. It's not the things that you've gotten away with in the past year. Maybe you think, you know, I know what the Bible says, but I haven't done what the Bible says and I've gotten away with it. These are things that I've just, you know, started doing and started accepting in my life. And, you know, no lightning bolts, right? God hasn't, you know, struck me down. I'm good. That is not your standard. God says he is your Holy One. That means that he is your standard, and he is who you measure, and I measure, and we measure ourselves against. Amen? It's not your pastor. It's not anybody else, but it's the Lord. And that is what his love means, because he is going to hold you responsible to measuring yourself against him and against the word that he has given you, the Bible. It says that he is your Creator. So he knows you intimately. He knows you intimately. Psalm 139, verse 13 says, for it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. The Lord is the one who actually knit you together while we were being formed on our mother's wombs. He knit us together. So he knows us intimately. He knows everything about us. And that's both good and bad, right? Maybe the fact that God knows you, like every square inch, every square centimeter of you, maybe that's freaking out a little bit. Maybe the fact that he knows what you're thinking and he knows what you're doing and maybe that's a little bit scary right now, right? What do you think you're getting away with in the face of this God who formed you and knows everything about you, right? He knows what you're thinking. He knows where you're sneaking off to. He knows who you're sneaking off with. He knows everything, and yet you're still here. This is the grace of God. I'm still here. This is the goodness of the Lord right now, that we are here right now. He knows everything about us, but he also knows what you're dealing with. That is the good news, right? He knows what you're facing. He knows the storm in your life. He knows the mountain that's in front of you that you don't know how you're going to be able to scale. He knows everything, and he's in control of all of it. He's in control of all of that too. Not only does he know you intimately, but he cares for you intensely. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 21 says, I formed you. You are my servant. Israel, or Emmanuel Church, Emmanuel, you will never be forgotten by me. So though you can't see it, maybe you don't understand it, he is working for you and he is working in you, and that is his promise. And the third way that his love is going to be evidenced in your life, in our lives going forward, is that he is our King. Verse 15 says that he is your King. So he is not, the Lord is not a president that you can vote out of office when you don't agree with some of his policies, right? He's not a spiritual teacher who has some pretty good ideas about how to live in this world and how to, you know, treat one another and the golden rule and all that. That's not what the Bible says that he is. He is King. You are not the king of your castle, but he is. It's not about independence. So it's not about what American culture tries to teach us so often, that we're supposed to be these independent, individual people. It's not about independence, but it's about dependence, and it's about depending on him because he is our king. Amen? Not only does God love you, but God will not be limited by the past. Let me read verses 16 through 18, actually. This is what the Lord says, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the raging water, who brings you out, who brings out the chariot and horse, the army and the mighty one together. They lie down and they do not rise again. They are extinguished, put out like a wick. Do not remember the past events. Pay no attention to the things of old. So you guys know that I try to be super honest with you guys, super open with you guys whenever I'm up here. I try not to pretend that I'm something that I'm not. And Naomi and I had a, should I call it an argument? I'm sorry, honey, if you're watching. Naomi and I had a discussion. Some of it got a little bit of intense, right? And in that discussion, thank you, Debbie, some things were brought up that had been, you know, brought up before in previous discussions, right? Has anybody been there? So, like, we're talking through things, and as we're talking through it, there was this part of me, there was this side of me that was tempted to think and to move forward by saying, you know, what's the point of even trying to fix this? What's the point of even trying to, you know, work this out? Because, like, what we're talking about now, we have talked about in the past, right? So even if we fix it now, it's just going to happen again, right? Like, that was the temptation that I had. Obviously, that didn't happen. but that was the temptation, to think, you know, what's the point to try to fix things? And yet, this is what we're up against as we go into 2020. This is one of the things that can hold us back from fully experiencing the blessings of God. Those past events, those negative experiences sometimes. And I believe that that's why the Lord says, you know what? Do not remember the past events. Pay no attention to the things of old. But he starts off in such a funny way, because verses 16 through 17 remind Israel of the miracles of the past. They remind Israel of the way that God has come through for them in miraculous and powerful ways. That's why, like, you read, he says, this is what the Lord says, who makes a way in the sea, right? Like at the Red Sea, when the Egyptians were after them, they were about to destroy them, and God split the sea in two, and they walked forward on dry land into the promised land, right? He's like the one who makes a path through the raging water, who brings chariot and horse and army together. They lie down and they don't rise up. Again, reminding them of the way that he saved them from Egypt, how this massive professional military was coming up against a nation of slaves who had no business and basically no hope to stand up against them. And the Lord fought for them and destroyed the army. He's like, remember, Israel, all the amazing, miraculous things that I did for you. And it's almost like he's setting us up, because he comes to verse 18 and he says, as I read, you know what? Don't remember the things of the past. Don't remember all those amazing things that I just listed. And in fact, Forget them completely. Now it's time to move on. And I believe the Lord would tell us here at Emmanuel that we need to leave the past in the past in a couple ways tonight. And I want to list those out for you. The first is, don't let the past destroy you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, it says, for godly grief produces repentance that leads to salvation without regret, but worldly grief produces death. So if God allows you to go through grief, it's because he wants you, he wants me to come to repentance, because he wants ultimately to save me, right? But if you're stuck in grief, or if you're stuck on a situation or on an event or on a pain or on a person, and that is producing grief to where you just you want to give up. This is it. You can't move forward. The Lord says, in 2020, as we move forward into this new year, you need to let go of that past. That is worldly grief. That is not the kind of grief that the Lord allows to happen in your life. This is the grief of the world, which leads to death. And it's the kind of grief and the kind of pain and the kind of things that we need to leave in the past in order to experience the goodness of God in 2020. Amen. We need to be able, and you know, it's not just pick yourself up by your bootstraps. It's the Word of God, and it's prayer, and it's community, and it's the preaching of the Word of God, and it's worship, corporate and individual, and it's all these things that the Lord is calling us to do in order to leave the pain and the hurt and those past experiences in the past. Not just that. Don't let the past destroy you, but don't let the past take you out of the fight. For some people, you're like, I've done so much, I've sinned so much. There are so many things that I regret about my life and in my life. So many past relationships that are broken. So many past opportunities that I've let go by. So much regret, so much pain that, like, you're like, I'm just gonna sit. I'm gonna take the last seat on the last bench in the church. I'm gonna be in the house of God, but I just won't do anything, because how could God possibly use somebody like me? So broken, so sinful. A person who has failed so many times. How could God possibly use somebody like me? And what the Lord wants to tell you tonight is that he's not done with you, and he's not done working in your life, and he's not done with that beautiful and perfect plan that he has for your life, right? As Romans says, he works all things together for the good. All things together. He's not working the good things and the good events and the things that you're happy about. He says he works all things together for your good. For those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That is what the Word of God says. So do not let your past take you out of the fight. Do not let your past make you think falsely that God is done with you, that there's nothing left for you to do for him or for his kingdom, because the Lord still has a great deal to do with you and in your life. Thirdly, don't let your past make you overconfident. We know the story about Samson and Delilah, right? Where Delilah was trying to figure out what gave Samson his great strength, and he kept tricking her. He said, "Oh, it's, you know, it's one thing or it's another." And eventually, because he was weak, he gave in and he told her, "It's my long hair. If I cut my hair, I will lose my strength." And as he went to sleep, she cut his hair and called in the Philistines to come and capture him, right? And we see in chapter 16, verse 20, it says, "Then Delilah cried, 'Samson, the Philistines are here.' When he awoke from his sleep, he said, 'I will escape as I did before and shake myself free.' But he did not know that the Lord had left him." He said, "I'm going to do the same thing that I did in the past. I'm going to base my success now on the successes that I had in the past. I'm gonna base my spiritual walk on that mountaintop experience that I had at camp or at Revive or on a Sunday night or on a Sunday morning or in a prayer group or in that one time when we were worshiping and I saw, you know, so many people here on New Year's Eve just worshiping the Lord, going into the new year by worshiping and singing and praising him. I'm gonna base my success and my confidence on those experiences that I had in the past. Those are good. And they can give us hope and they can give us instruction. But the Lord says, do not base your your move into the future, your move into 2020 on the successes that you had in 2019. Those successes are good, and they are moments that you can look back on and remember and be grateful for, but they are not moments that we'll take with us into 2020. God has all sorts of new things for us in 2020. And then lastly, don't let the past limit your expectations. The same verse that we read, verse 18 in chapter 43 in the NLT translation says, and I love how it says it, but forget all that. Forget all that. So again, all those miracles of taking you through the Red Sea, all those miracles of defeating Egypt for you, says forget all that. Why? Because it is nothing compared to what I am going to do. That's what the Lord says. All those experiences, it's not that they were bad. It's not that they were bad. It's not that, you know, they're dangerous in some way, but they are nothing compared to what the Lord wants to do in 2020. Amen? And then finally, God is doing something new. This is what it says in verses 19 through 21. It says, look, I'm about to do something new. Even now it is coming. Do you not see it? Indeed, I will make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. Wild animals, jackals and ostriches will honor me because I provide water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to drink, to give drink to my chosen people. The people formed for myself will declare my praise. So lastly for tonight is, not only does God love you, not only does God say, that he will not be limited by the past, but God says that he is doing something new. He is doing something new. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, do you guys know this verse? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, if you want to put it up there. It says, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and no human heart has conceived, God has prepared these things for those who love him. Do you love the Lord tonight? Do you love the Lord tonight? Do you want the Lord to do something in your life in 2020, to do something new in your life in 2020? Do you want the Lord to do something new in your family in 2020? Do you want the Lord to do something new in Emmanuel in 2020? What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what is beyond your imagination, what is beyond your thinking, what is beyond the greatest thing that you think God is possible of doing, God says, that's what I'm going to do and more. That is what I'm planning and doing and more. God wants to do something new in your life in 2020. God wants to do something new in Emmanuel as we move forward into this new year. And you know what? The beautiful thing is that it's not a question of if. It's not an invitation to come and to pray so that God will do something new. It's not an invitation to come repent of your sins and cry out to the Lord and beg him to maybe possibly consider putting the past behind and doing something new with us in 2020. That's not it. It's not a question of if. The word says in chapter 9, in verse 19, it says, look, I am about to do something new. I am about to do something new. This is my promise. This is my word. This is what I'm committing to you, Emmanuel. Look, I'm about to do something new. And not only that, look, it's already on the way. It's already on the way. I have already been working. I have already been moving. I have already been putting things into place for you, Emmanuel. It's already on the way. The hope is already on the way. The healing is already on the way. The blessing is already on the way. That is not the question. That is not the question. That is not what we're here to do, to beg God to give those things to us. They're already on the way. This is the promise of God. The question for us tonight is, can you see it? Can you see it? Verse 19 says, look, I am about to do something new. Even now, it is coming. Do you not see it, Emmanuel? Do you not see it, brother and sister, as you sit here tonight? Are your eyes open to see the movement of the Lord tonight? That is the question that we're wrestling with. That is the question that you have to ask yourself here tonight. Can you see it? Or are you on the verge of giving up? Are you on the verge of losing hope, of walking away? Instead, God declares, I am at work. I am work. I am at work. I am working in you. I am working for you. I am working for your family. I am working for Emmanuel Church, moving in powerful ways. I'm bringing together legion upon legion of the heavenly host to fight your battles on your behalf. But can you see it? It reminded me of the passage that we know from 2 Kings about Elisha and his servant in the city of Dothan. As Israel and Assyria were at war, whenever the Syrians would try to make a move against Israel, the Lord would speak to Elisha, and he would let the king of Israel know what Syria was about to do, and they were able to counter them every single move. And they found out that it was Elisha who was speaking to the king, so the king of Syria said, let's take out Elisha, let's take out the prophet of God so that we can destroy Israel, finally destroy Israel. And they cornered him and his servant in a city in a small town called Dothan. And one morning as they wake up, they see the city surrounded by the armies of Syria. They see thousands upon thousands of soldiers surrounding this small little town. They had no hope of standing up against this army that was arrayed against them. No hope. And Elisha's servant wakes up and starts freaking out and thinking and crying out and saying, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? They are going to destroy the city and they are going to take our lives. What are we going to do? And Elisha prays. We see this in verse 17 of chapter 6. He says, but Elisha prayed, Lord, please open his eyes so that he could see the reality of the situation, the reality of the thousands upon thousands of angels and chariots and the host of heaven that was surrounding them, to the point where he said, there are more with us than the thousands of Syrians arrayed against us. And tonight, there are more with us than there are against us. And there are more with you than the problems that you are facing. There are more angels and chariots and the armies of heaven arrayed to help you and to fight with you on behalf of the Lord. But the question is, do you see it? And the prayer is, Lord, open my eyes tonight. Open my eyes tonight as I move into this new year, Lord. Don't let me look into the past at the failures that I've had, at the successes that I've had. Don't let me look in the future at the mountains that are arrayed against me, at the storms that might be coming, Lord, because I know one thing. This is the thing that I'm banking on, and this is the thing that is getting me to move into the future. It's that you are with me. It's that you are with me, Lord. That is what your word says. That is what the word promises me. But Lord, tonight, my prayer for us, my prayer for me, my prayer for Emmanuel Church is that the Lord would open our eyes to see that reality. Amen? That the Lord would open our eyes to see that truth and to understand it and to receive it for us tonight. Amen? Let's stand up. And I want us to pray that tonight. I want to conclude by making that our prayer. Pray that for yourself. Pray that for your family. Pray that for the department in Emmanuel that you are working in, for the ministry that God's given you. Pray that over the Sunday school. Pray that over the pastors. Pray that over the worship leaders and the choir. Pray that over the orchestra and the band. Pray that over the youth and the elderly. Pray that over whoever God puts it on your heart to pray for. But pray that our eyes would be open tonight. If you are feeling overwhelmed by grief and sorrow, then pray, Lord, open my eyes to see the hope that I have in you. Amen? If you are overwhelmed by the attacks that are coming against you, pray, Lord, open my eyes to see that those who are with me are greater than those who are with them. Amen? If you are at the brink, ready to give up, ready to walk away, ready to give up on yourself or even God, pray, Lord, open my eyes to see your salvation for me tonight. And if you are telling yourself there's no point, it's too late, you're too far gone, then Lord, open my eyes to see that you have already won the victory and that I live on the basis of that victory tonight. Lord, open up all of our eyes tonight. Amen.